Welcome to the Impact 360 Institute podcast, where our goal is to explore biblical worldview and servant leadership to equip you for everyday influence. Here's your host, author and director of cultural engagement, Jonathan Morrow.
Are religious liberties shrinking in today's political climate? And how do Christians be faithful in this current cultural moment? How do we respect other opinions without losing our own convictions? These are just some of the important questions we're going to talk about in this episode of the Impact 360 Institute podcast. Now, before we get to that conversation, I want to remind you that we do have our applications open and registrations open for our summer 2017 experiences for Immersion, which is our two-week worldview and apologetics experience for high school students, as well as our one-week Propel, which is a leadership and identity and discipleship week for high school students. We also have our applications open for our 2017 gap year, our nine-month gap year class. So be sure to check that out at impact360.org. Well, recently I had the opportunity to sit down and interview Dr. Hunter Baker on the question of politics and culture. And we've got the full video available for you at impact360.org/courses. But you can hear a little bit of this interview here about our conversation about religious liberty and politics. And if you're like me, in some ways you're kind of weary of the political discussion right now, but it's important as Christians that we think about this through the lens of a biblical worldview. And so Dr. Hunter Baker is a university fellow and associate professor at Union University. He's the author of three books on religion and politics and serves as a research fellow of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. So he's one of our guest faculty and teaches our students here in the gap year. And so just really enjoyed my conversation with him. And so we talk about this question, are religious liberties shrinking in today's political climate?
Because this cultural moment is so strong, right? I think that a lot of young people want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. They want to pursue kind of noble quests. And the thing that has presented itself as kind of the primary candidate for that during the past decade or so has been same-sex marriage. And I think that, so they have invested very heavily emotionally in this. The problem is that gay marriage runs directly counter to kind of Orthodox Christianity, right? Now you take the civil rights battle, right? 1960s, 1950s, before that, there was nothing about the civil rights struggle that ran counter to Christian orthodoxy, right? In fact, you could effectively wield Christian orthodoxy against it, as Martin Luther King Jr. did in Letter from Birmingham Jail. Absolutely. Right? Just right. Read that. I mean, yeah. Letter from Birmingham Jail, to me, is the cherry on top of kind of Western political thought.
Yeah.
Right? It's brilliant.
It's masterful.
And, you know, anybody, it's funny, I've found that when I talk to academics, they'll say that you shouldn't bring religion into political thinking. And I say, well, what about Martin Luther King Jr. and Letter from Birmingham Jail? And they say, well, I want to say it's different in that case.
You want to say it's different, but it's not different.
It's not different, right? It's not different. So in any case, people who are opponents of the Christian faith and who think that it has a negative impact on our society, they recognize that there is a golden moment right now with regard to the potential social uses of gay marriage, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be one thing if we were talking about, okay, gay marriage, you win the concession, we will now perform these marriages, but the logic of it will be tied to the idea of non-discrimination in the law, mm-hmm. and that will then be in turn used to marginalize or discount Christian institutions and Christian persons out in the workplace.
Yeah, and so let's just talk about that for a second. We won't spend all of our time here, but what does it look like then, you know, given the law of the land, given the Supreme Court ruling, given what's gone on, how do we as Christians be faithful in this cultural moment that we're in? We're not in a political majority. We're not going to be passing laws and things like that. But given the realities that are there, what are maybe a couple principles on how to navigate that well?
Well, the phrase that always comes to my mind is wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, right? We need to be very shrewd. What we need to realize is that we live in a culture that, by and large, certainly in the 20th century, had a pretty good appreciation of religious liberty. And it is, I mean, as Justice Roberts said, Chief Justice Roberts, in his Obergefell dissent, he said, we're taking a right that we are discovering in the Constitution, and it will threaten one that is actually in the Constitution, right? You know, I mean, the First Amendment, right? Yeah. So what's happening is we have this kind of cultural fervor that is threatening to overwhelm one of our kind of prized liberties, right? The service that we can provide is to help people kind of escape this mob mentality. We need to be at our best. We need to be really careful about loose talk.
Yeah.
You know, we need to, I can remember, I won't say the name because I really respect this man, but a very well-respected older Christian man and scholar came to my class, and he was talking to the students about religious liberty, very well received. Mm-hmm. And then a student asked him a question about gay marriage. And he started talking about the perverts, you know, and their wicked ways. And in one sense, you might say, well, he's calling a spade, I could see it. He lost the whole room, right? He lost, they were totally with him, yeah. And then they were totally against him, mm-hmm. right? Even students who are, you know, kind of on our side, so to speak, when he began to speak of homosexuals in those tones, they didn't have any use for him mm-hmm. anymore. We cannot allow ourselves the luxury of this kind of loose talk or even call it lazy talk. Yeah. We have to respect the dignity of persons with whom we disagree. Mm-hmm. That's part of how we gain a hearing for yeah. what we have to say.
Yeah, I mean, our gay friends, they're made in the image of God.
Exactly
and,
right.
And are worthy of dignity and respect.
Exactly
so
right.
There's no joking, none of that stuff.
That's right. I mean,
that, there's no place for any of that in
yeah.
Christianity. Yet at the same time, we have to have our convictions and courage to live out
yes.
those convictions and faithfully speak when we're called to ask, you know, an answer for what we think is true and what the Bible
yeah.
teaches. And so it's that delicate dance, but I think it's going to take courage in our moment.
It does take courage. And, you know, one thing that's been disturbing is that there are a number of Christian scholars. I think of somebody like Tony Campolo, who, you know, they have a strong influence in the Christian community for a long time, but they also, you know, maybe by nature of their politics, they earn a certain prestige with the mass media or whatever. And when something like this comes up, they are under a lot of pressure, right, to revise their views. And the problem is they often do, yeah. right? They yeah. they often do. They kind of walk back Christian orthodoxy or they
their
revise their
evolve.
Views. Positions evolve. And the problem is that actually puts the rest of us in a worse position. It makes it harder yeah. for everybody who's trying to be faithful because to the outside observer, they say, oh, well, Tony Campolo is a Christian. He's a reasonable person. Why can't the other Christians believe as yeah. Tony Campolo does? It must be because they're bad people, right?
Yeah, and then there's not the time to have the thoughtful conversation about why we hold the positions we do
right.
and why we might disagree with someone like him
right?
because you know, we live in a culture of sound bites and emotionalism and slogans.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to have very long conversations about stuff that matters. Well, I hope you enjoyed some of that conversation I had with Dr. Hunter Baker. Again, you can find and watch the whole interview, the whole conversation I did, and get access to our other courses and videos and things like that at impact360.org/courses to check out the rest of this conversation. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. So on behalf of the entire Impact 360 Institute team, thanks for listening.
For more information about our on-campus worldview and leadership experiences for students and our accessible online courses like Explore Truth and Explore the Resurrection, visit impact360.org. Impact 360 Institute. Know. Be. Live.